Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
What a great way to start our celebration and observance of our core value of love. And of course, we're acknowledging that core value on Mother's Day. But I do have to make a few comments about Mother's Day per se. It symbolizes the divine idea of nurturance. And at the same time, I'm keenly aware that for many people, that nurturance didn't come from their mothers of origin. But there were other people who gave that. And I'm keenly aware that for some individuals, motherhood really wasn't their natural calling in the world. And I'm keenly aware that there is a lot of energy around this idea. But let's come back always to giving thanks for and recognizing and celebrating those who did nurture us. For nurturance is a form of love, and it is available to everyone. Whether it came from anticipated and expected sources or unexpected. So today, in appreciation for that idea of nurturance, I'd like to share a reading from Reverend Victoria Weinstein, which is a prayer, really, a prayer for all who mother. And this is what she says. We reflect in thanksgiving this day for all those lives who have nurtured ours. The life-giving ones who heal with their presence, who listen in sympathy, who give wise advice, but only when asked for it. We are grateful for all those who have mothered us, who have held us gently in times of sorrow, who celebrated with us our triumphs, no matter how small, who noticed when we changed and grew, who praised us for taking risks, and who took genuine pride in our success, and who expressed genuine compassion when we did not succeed. On this day that honors mothers, let us honor all mothers, men and women alike, who from somewhere in their being have freely and wholeheartedly given life and sustenance and vision to us. Dear God, Father, Mother of us all, grant us life-giving ways, strength for birthing, and a nurturing spirit that we may take attentive care of our world, our communities, and those precious beings entrusted to us by biology or by destiny or by friendship, fellowship, or fate. Give us the heart of a mother today. Amen. That same may seem like a tall order, but we are all equipped and endued with the divine idea of love, that wonderful quality. It is a core value here at Unity of Fairfax, and that's what I want to talk about in this fourth week of our five-week series about our new core values. Now, you may look at the banners and say, well, those are different from what you're talking about. And that's because the new banners are in production. So if you're looking for details, I wanted to explain that. So let's see where we are so far with our core values. The first one was oneness. Oneness is the call to revere divine life in all living beings and systems. Everything is connected. And it's important for us to recognize that because an action here has an impact over there. So we want to understand that everything we say and do has an impact and a consequence. So we want to be wise in what we say, what we do, and generally how we show up. The second one is spirit-centered. Spirit is at the center of who we are and what we do. We refer to Unity of Fairfax as a spiritual center. So when we say that, what we are saying is we identify with all that God is, and we desire to let our words and our actions bring forth what we call the kingdom of God, or more in more modern parlance, the beloved community, as expressed by Dr. King. Last week, we looked at the divine idea of integrity. And integrity is the practice of maintaining honesty and respectfulness. Seems like that would be a good core value for the whole world to adopt. But we can start right here with ourselves. And today we are looking at the divine idea of love, which we identify as a magnet for good and an agent for healing. A magnet for good and an agent for healing. So on our website, smack dab in the middle of the homepage, you'll see a link to our core values document. And real quickly, we identify in that document some individual behaviors and some collective behaviors that allow us to give shape and form to this core value. So individually, we act from love. Love is our ultimate motivator if we are really living this core value. We're not acting from fear or ignorance or guilt or shame. We want to act from love. So we want to determine what is mine to do and bring myself and my talents to those tasks. I consciously reach out to other people and people I don't know. It's the hand of fellowship, friendship. I want to get to know you. I want to welcome you into my world and hopefully be invited into yours. And I practice forgiveness of myself and others. This our forgiveness idea is to me where the pedal meets the metal. This is where we get down to brass tacks. This is where it gets real. It's going to get real in just a few minutes. Don't be afraid. It won't hurt. But we did install seatbelts on some of the seats. And collectively, these are actions that Unity of Fairfax as a community endeavors to engage in. We want to promote opportunities for people to build healthy relationships. That's why we have hospitality after services, why we do classes and events and activities. So during community news, we'll share some fun activities and community building activities that we have lined up. We provide a welcoming environment to adults and children, and even children, adults who act like children. So, so y'all come, show up, and I invite you to volunteer in youth and family ministry. So please volunteer in youth and family ministry. And we invite and guide people to love themselves and others genuinely, and which is why so much of our programming is about self-awareness and self-understanding. Because when we can understand ourselves more completely, then perhaps we will be more compassionate and understanding of others, especially when we don't seem to understand them. Because there are times, if you're like me, when you might look at your own behaviors and ask yourself, why am I doing this? What the heck is going on between my ears? I need to figure this out. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of the Unity Movement, had a lot to say about the divine idea of love. And in fact, in his teaching of the 12 powers of mankind, he identified love as one of those powers which, when we identify with it and integrate it into our being, helps us to awaken to Christ consciousness. Here's some thoughts of his on the matter. He said, love is a divine attribute. It is an idea in the mind, in the one mind. God is love and love is God, or a quality of being. The difference between divine love and human love is that divine love is broad and unlimited, a universal and harmonizing power. Human love is based on personality and can be selfish, lawless, and fickle, which incidentally is the inspiration of the Bon Jovi song, You Give Love a Bad Name. Of course, you all know so. So that's what we're talking about. It's ultimately about Bon Jovi. Or not. Anyway, so Fillmore goes on to say, in reality, there is only one love. When man expresses divine love in limited ways, he makes a separation in consciousness, and his expression of love is personal instead of universal. Meaning, like, I'll love the people I love. I'm not going to love those people over there. Separation. Wherein divine love just is love for all. Divine love will establish one in fearlessness and courage. Quoting Timothy, for God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. By establishing ourselves in the consciousness of divine love and expressing that love at all times, we help to fulfill the commandment, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. Oh, you bay. We develop love in our heart. by asking daily that the infinite love of God be poured out upon us, by praying, meditating, and affirming that we are one with and express at all times the perfect divine love of God. Y'all got your rose-colored glasses on? Yeah, because this is great, lofty idealism. And it's wonderful and it's beautiful and it is the North Star to which we aim. But the question really is, how do we live this on a day-to-day basis? I mean, if you've been around the block a time or two, or if you read a newspaper in the last day or two, then you're probably aware that living this divine consciousness is problematic. You may question, how could anybody do this? Not only in light of what's happening around the world, but what's happening in our lives, in our families, at our workplaces, in our school boards especially. That sort of stuff. Now, how's that for an understatement? All right. It's doable. Last week, in our talk on integrity, I concluded with something like this, and it's a paraphrase. We all have free will and the capacity to choose, and we must decide to use our free will for good, or in this case, our free will for love, in the face of enormous challenges of all kinds. And what do we do when we fail? Because if you're like me, and maybe you are, maybe not, you may have fallen a time or two, which is common, by the way. It's easy. So what do we do when we fail? We admit we've done wrong. We make amends. When doing so, we'll not cause more harm. Resolve to do better, that is, to become better people for having learned the lesson of our S-I-N, our self-induced nonsense, as the late Eric Butterworth called it. Okay, now that's easy to say, but what happens is when we look at what has been done to us or what we may have done, there's angst, there's anger, there's resentment, there's guilt, there's shame, there's the whole gamut. And as I expressed last week, through the power of the indwelling Christ, we can navigate and overcome all those things. Where it happens is in our willingness, first and foremost, and our capacity to engage in this idea of forgiveness. And this work really does require fearlessness and courage. So how do we practice this forgiveness when the failing, our own or somebody else's, is monumental? Well, one of the definitions of forgiveness is to give love for harm. By consciously giving love as a response, we set in play the possibility and the avenue of healing, of being free from it, whatever it was, of moving forward in a greater and better capacity as human beings and as individuals committed to expressing the divine idea of love. So there are four things I would like for you to know about forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness does not necessarily mean forgetting. Anybody ever hear the adage, forgive and forget? Well, in my mind, that's really disingenuous because the great likelihood is we're not going to forget. You know, those who forget the past are condemned to relive it. Because whatever it was, it happened and it left a mark. However, that said, there can be life-affirming and valuable lessons that can be gleaned from X if we're willing to have a life-affirming lesson, if we're willing to not waste a bad experience. One of my mantras that I've developed over the years is never waste a bad experience. The universe does not waste energy. We are wise to follow suit. So what do we do with this negative experience, this memory, this thing? Well, first and foremost, we don't deny it. Acting as if something didn't happen only buries it in consciousness. It sublimates it, and it will pop up again here and here and here in a very unhealthy manner. So we just have to be able to say, X happened. And then we talk it out, whether therapist, the offender, a confidant, whoever it needs to be, to get it off our chests. Because otherwise, whatever X was, it just sits there like a 100-pound weight. and we can't breathe, and we're not free. We're stuck under a weight. And third, we address it using our spiritual tools. You know, one of the phrases we use a lot in Unity and New Thought is this idea of let go and let God. So when it comes to mind, just affirm to yourself, I let this go. Letting it go frees your life energy to do something constructive other than using your life energy to carry a burden. It's kind of like we talked about last week. It's like the heavy, so if you were with us last week, you remember we got a history lesson about the Empire of Mexico that was aligned with the French Emperor Napoleon. All that came from because they had crippling foreign debt and they wouldn't pay it. So it's on the website or the podcast, wherever you get it. So don't waste your energy carrying debt. Let it go. And then lastly, we accept whatever it was as a memory, but one that no longer has to dictate our lives. All of us have had bad things that have happened. All of us have probably done something that we're not proud of. But through the power of the living Christ Spirit within, we can let it go. We can acknowledge, yeah, that's part of my story. It's not my story today. It's not this chapter. It was a prior chapter. You with me so far? Okay, this is tools. Second thing we do, need to know about forgiveness. It does not in any way, shape, form mean excusing. Either you did or they did X, and there were reasons for doing so. And these reasons were probably poorly thought out or bad or unhelpful or ignorant, but there were reasons nonetheless. And at least understanding our own reasoning can help us come to a greater level of self-awareness, which is profound spiritual work. And it always pays off handsomely. Looking at a situation, what was my role there? How was I involved? How did I deny being involved? All of that sort of stuff. But here's the thing about personal reflection, about self-awareness. It takes a lot of courage, it takes a lot of faith, and it takes a lot of time. So when I'm encountering that, I like to look at it from this perspective. What can I learn from this that will make me a better person? Notice the question I phrased. What can I learn from this that will make me a better person? That's what I call the indwelling Christ at work. Because I want to answer the question that of my choosing. How can I use this to make me a better person? And if you don't align with the term Christ within, how can Spirit within help me use a situation to make me a better person? It's challenging for the fact that you might learn some things about yourself you didn't know or don't like. Or, here's the good news, because there is good news, you might recognize you have undeveloped or unacknowledged strengths that will really help you be the person you want to be. Yay you. But you have to be willing to take that inner journey and risk exposing and acknowledging your vulnerabilities, most importantly to yourself and quite possibly someone else. That's why people in 12-step programs who want to have their sanity restored do a searching and fearless moral inventory. It's great work to do even if you're not encountering an addictive personality. Did I already say never waste a bad experience? Okay, yeah. Number three, forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. You always hear that notion, okay, kiss and make up. Well, sometimes you can't or even shouldn't try to kiss and make up, metaphorically speaking. And it's great when reconciliation can happen because it truly can, but not in every case. In the process of discernment around whether or not to engage in reconciliation, one can learn crucial lessons about personal boundaries and healthy ego stances. Just a word about that. So what do we mean when we talk about boundaries? Boundaries establish what behavior you will accept from other people and what behaviors they can expect from you. And this includes such things as physical boundaries, like how comfortable are you with physical touch from other people? Or intimacy boundaries, how much sharing of your vulnerabilities are you willing to do? Or professional boundaries, such as how much shop talk will you allow before you tell the person, all right, I'm going to start charging from this moment on because this is what I do for a living. Did I say never waste a bad experience? And lastly, and I think this is the one that's most important because it was brought to my awareness this past week as I was talking about a situation in my past with somebody. Being willing to forgive is enough. Being willing to forgive is enough. Remember the story, Good Friday, Easter week, and all that. Good Friday, Jesus is on the cross at Calvary and is recorded to have said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's recorded in Luke. Notice he did not say, "Hey guys, I forgive you, we're good." It was too awful. It was just too horribly awful. However, his words show that he was willing for forgiveness to happen, even if he himself could not do it. Do you hear what I'm saying there? He was willing for forgiveness to happen, but this was just too much, even in spite of his multiple teachings about forgiveness. Sometimes all we have to do in our humanity is be willing to get out of the way. This is another way of saying, let go and let God. There is an indwelling spirit in me that can do this work that my personality just really can't. But my personality is willing to have this happen. My personality is smart enough to realize I would be wise not to use my life energy carrying this experience around. I want to put this back in chapter 6 while I've moved on to chapter 7. Willingness is the key. So a useful thought to hold is I'm willing for forgiveness to happen. Show me how this is happening. And the mantra is never waste a bad experience. So in closing, I simply suggest that engaging in the practice of forgiveness is really probably the most profound way to live this core value of love. Because as Jesus said, it's easy to love with those who love you. It's not so easy to love those who don't love you or have harmed you. And I would add, it's not so easy to love ourselves when we have fallen and recognized it. And it is possible, and it is worth doing. And why is it worth doing? Because you're worth it. So keep coming back. It works if you work it. Peace be with you and namaste.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 11 a.m. or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.